The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, in looking at verse 4, it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to Jesus from every city, and then Jesus spoke by a parable." Here's the parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on the good ground, and it sprang up, and it yielded a crop 100-fold. And he said, Jesus speaking, "These things, he who has an ear, let them hear what I have to say." In verse 9, the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand." And now he explains the parable in verse 11. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard it, they received the word, they received it with joy. And then these, having no root, who believed for a while, and in time, the temptation of temptation, they fell away. Now the ones that fell amongst the thorns are those who, when they heard it, they go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." And finally, verse 15, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are the ones who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." And we'll pray again, Father, that you would bless this Bible study and certainly your word. And we ask, God, that not only would we be hearers, but you would illuminate our hearts and our minds with this illustration, that we would leave here purposefully in our own minds and hearts to say, "Lord, I want my life to bear fruit for your glory, whatever it takes." In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So in our teaching today, Fruitful Living, some of you probably know where that is. It's actually just across the street. And there's a field that's over there, and it's Fruitful Living. What we see is there's three things. There's the sower. What's the second thing today in this parable? The sower, the seed, and what's the last thing? The soil. Okay, very good. You're doing great. Everyone gets an A so far. Okay, who would the sower be? Now, I know I just heard something. When in doubt, always say Jesus, okay? So, but we're going to have to realize that Jesus is going to work through you. So the sower is going to, we're all participants. So as believers in the word of God, we're all called to sow the seed, to give out God's word. That's what we're doing this morning. We're giving out God's word. What is the seed? The seed is what? The Bible says, it told us what it is. The word of God. Okay, very good. And then the soil. How many types of soil are there? Four. Okay. And there's only one type that really produces really good food or good fruit. So to be the sower, now here we go. To be the sower, that's our job. That's my job. It's your job to be a sower. Are you up for that? Do you want to sow the seed? Do you want to sow the word of God? I do. So that's, I'm called to sow God's word. Our ministry is sowing God's word. We're called to sow God's word. What in heaven right now, that is on earth? In heaven, there's people that lived on earth, but the only thing else is the word of God. The word of God is eternal. So in heaven right now is the word of God. It's the eternal word of God, and we're thankful for that. So we're sowing the eternal word of God. Now, it's the seed is his word. And then finally, as you got it right, the soil. But I put in here, it's your choice. So there's four types of soil. When we looked at the teaching and of Paul, Paul explained it this way. Paul says, "Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase." Do you want an increase of the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, the purpose of God, and the fruit of God in your life? Do you want to see God work abundantly in your life? I do. Don't you? So I'm going to ask Michael to come up. Let's welcome Michael. Michael, this is your turn to come up right now. And what we're doing is Michael works in agriculture. He's an expert in seeds and soil. He might dispute that, but that's what he does. So since we have a family-style service, I wanted to really bring out, you know, some of the aspects of what we do in our children's ministry. So he was kind enough, because I called him yesterday with that big advance notice, and he put together some of the different aspects of what he does with soils and with growth, and so that we could clearly demonstrate a few things and can see it in a very clear way, because God reveals himself, you know, really in life and in nature and through various forms of things. Ladies and the teachers, this is not the flowers we're talking about. So school teachers, these are the flowers that you get. Okay. All right. Now, when we're talking about the soils, what was the first soil that we talked about in the scripture? What kind of condition was that first soil? What was it like? It was just a road, right? So remember, in this time of Jesus, they did not have John Deere equipment. So they were not plowing the field, making a furrow, and dropping seed in as they go. What they would do, it's called broadcasting, and they would just take the seed and broadcast it. They would just throw the seed out upon the field. That's how they would do that. So obviously you have some of the field that has been turned over and ready for the seed, but also you have pathways that people are going on. So the seed that would go on the pathway, the roadway. So it's just like if we were to seed with grass, the parkway out here, some would go over on the asphalt and nothing's going to grow there, correct? So what Jesus is saying, first of all, is that there are people that have hard, hard hearts, and the seed, the word of God, is not penetrating because their hearts are just hard. There's nothing there. It's just a hardness. So in a setting like this, everybody hears, but not a change takes place in everybody because the condition of the heart. So if there's a hard heart, even though everybody heard the same thing, there's not necessarily going to be the same results, because a hard heart will not allow that seed to take resident and become what God would want it to become. Now, let me tell you, this has to do obviously with initially salvation and a relation with God, but let me make it very clear. This parable, and parable means I'm going to drop an illustration alongside of a truth. So Jesus is giving out truth, but he's going to, a parable, I'm going to drop an illustration next to it. Listen, I have had in my Christian life a hard heart where I've read, I've studied, and I've taught on things from the Bible, but because my heart was not right, I lost out. There was no life and no reality to that. So we need to keep our hearts, all of us, tender and plowed for the Lord. Now, that's the hard heart. Now, Michael, we got in here, this bucket here, what's inside of here, because no one else can see it.
In here is gravel with a little bit of soil.
Gravel with a little bit of soil. So what?
And weeds.
What one would that represent with a sense of gravel? What soil type? Number one, number two? Number two, okay? So, Michael, you also put inside of here some things that you actually pulled up from gravel, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, how come these would actually grow in gravel?
In the springtime, they'll get water and they'll germinate and they'll start to grow. But once the weather gets hot, they'll start to dry out, and that's why they're smaller and they have less of a root structure. So they end up basically shorter plants. They don't end up dying out.
Okay. Why does one stay green and the other one not quite as green?
Because they have different types of roots.
Okay.
So there's a fibrous root and there's a tap root.
And you get that? Root, you tap root and fibrous, all right?
And the tap root can go down really far, so that way the plant, basically it goes down and finds the moisture so it can survive longer. And the fibrous roots stay up at the top, so they don't get as much water.
Okay, that's really good. But I asked him a question, and this is really was an important one I asked him yesterday. Because part of our backyard, I just don't water because I don't want to pay for the water. It's too expensive, so the lawn's dry. Except for the weeds at. So the weed grows and it's green, but all the other lawn, and I didn't water any of it. So does that ever happen to you? It's like well, okay, well, why does that happen? Okay. So he actually brought a sample here for us today. And all this will apply some way or another, okay? I'm not going to let these illustrations slide by. But with this root in this dry ground, this weed right here, can you explain why this weed turned green and my grass turned brown?
So the grass has fibrous roots, so they go all over on the top. And this dandelion...
Yeah, get rid of this guy.
I cut it off because it had a shovel, but the root goes down this far. So it's deep enough so it goes and finds the moisture, and that's why it stays green where everything else dries out.
So it's a wonderful illustration if you think about, if we use these weeds as an analogy of sin, right? So all of a sudden in your life, you know, sin, if sin isn't dealt with, it has roots. And the roots go deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's a sense of life or a sense of something going on, but it's because of these roots that have not been dealt with, right? Okay. Are we doing okay on this? All right. Now, if you looked at the illustration, the parable, there's four types of soil, correct? So there was just that hard roadway in the seed. Nothing's going to happen. It gets stolen by the birds or the devil. The second one were where the rocks were at. So you could have some soil, some top soil, but there's gravel underneath that. And so there can be a sense of an initial, wow, something's happening. Little life's coming up, but there's no root system. There's no water available, and it dies. And then, of course, what we're just illustrating right here is that you can also have, you can actually have something that has the potential of a lot of fruit. That's really stickery.
It hurts.
Yes, it hurts. So we have some Christmas trees in September here. What's this called?
Thistle, I guess.
A thistle.
Yeah. Weed.
Weed, thistle. The Bible is speaking about these sorts of things, right?
Yep.
And why, if this was in the same area of what we're trying to grow, it seems as though, according to the Bible, that these end up dominating and taking away and stealing away the life of what you're hoping to have prosper. Is that true?
Yes.
Good. He said it hesitantly, but he didn't want to contradict the Bible. Okay. Maybe he's really out there in the fields, but... these really, they can steal the nutrients, the life, and everything else that's supposed to go to our product.
Yeah, and they'll produce seed too, and they'll multiply for next year if you don't take care of them.
Okay, so, and there'll be seeds of weeds and everything everywhere.
Yep.
Okay. So if we go back to the illustration of the four types of soil, only one really produces fruit, right? So those of you that are really good in math, we got our high school group over here. So out of... four soils, if only one produces good fruit, what percentage is producing good fruit? What's that? 25%. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, this class is brilliant. I mean, we have... it's very true. 25%. So when I started to think about that, I thought, wow, that's a tough situation that... you're working hard for the kingdom of God, you're sowing, you're praying, you're believing, you're cultivating, you're working, and the outcome is only 25%. You follow me on that? Okay. However, I asked Michael to bring this in, and corn, correct? All right. So would you take this one out here, and I'll hold that. So there's one, how many stalks, or what's this called?
An ear.
An ear.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, listen, I grew up in L.A., okay? The only ear I knew was this one, okay? All right. So this is a stalk, right?
Yeah.
Okay. These are stalks. What is this stuff here?
Tassels.
Tassels? And what is, besides on graduation hats, what does it do?
It pollinates.
Pollinates that.
Yep.
That's what makes that go?
Yeah. Pollen comes down here. Wow. Falls on little hairs, and then it pollinates the seed for the corn.
Okay. Nice. Are you guys learning some good things here? All right. How tall could this get? I mean, a full big guy.
Some are 10 feet tall.
10 feet tall. And then how many ears can be on one?
I don't know. Maybe 4 or 5.
Okay. And then that's it, right?
I think, yeah.
Okay. Good. So very good. All right. So what's inside of there?
Corn.
Okay. Show people. Not. Ooh. Ah. Okay. Now you're doing really good.
Thanks, sir.
You hold some more. All right. So good. Okay. Now, will these be seeds?
Yes.
They will.
If those dry out, each one will produce a corn plant.
Okay, so when somebody takes a corn seed, this may seem really, really elementary. So if I just had one corn seed, could it have the potential planted in really good soil and taken care of and watered? But if God were to give the increase, one of these seeds potentially could make one of these 10 feet tall.
Correct.
And one of these 10 feet tall could have maybe 4 of these on it.
Yep.
And of the 4 of these that are on there, how many seeds do you think potentially in each ear?
Somebody told me the number one time, and I can't remember, but I think it's in the hundreds and
so,
thousands. I don't know.
Okay, so he's right on track because the Lord says 100-fold. Didn't he say that? That he would produce 100-fold. So within every seed of this corn, every seed, it has the genetic makeup, right, mm-hmm. for this.
Yep.
If I planted one of these, would it have the genetic makeup for a tomato plant?
No.
I mean, it seems silly, right? But it can start to contradict some science philosophy and thinking real quickly, okay? Because we beget, humans beget humans, corn begets corn. You follow me, what I'm saying? It's the way God put everything together. Now, in our lives, would you not want to see God do something like this in your life, that even though there's just one little seed, one small seed of faith, do you think with your one small seed of faith planted in good soil and nurtured, that there can be this kind of prosperity happen? And then so much so after that first season, you've gotten abundant as well to continue to plant, that soon you started off with just a little pot, but after a while, you're really working an acre or more with what God's doing in your life, responsibility he's given to you. Do you follow me with this? Okay. So let's thank Michael right now. Is there anything else you want to add?
Sure.
Anything?
Sure.
It's all good? Okay, good. No, you can leave those for now. I'm sure some of the children want to play in that later on, so that's fine. Stay away from the weed. So we need to also, we need to say, okay, the question comes now, okay, that's a great illustration. That's a really good illustration. I see what you're saying here. There's an illustration, and it says, now may he who supplies the seed to the sower, so we have the word of God, God gives us his word, and bread for food he provides, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness. So we're looking for the sense of increasing in our lives. This Discipleship Living Bible School, which is starting in another week on Monday, it's very important to see what Hebrews says regarding the Word of God. So the Word of God, the seed, the Word of God, it's living and powerful. So the Word of God is alive, it's living, it's powerful. It's actually sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God and the potential of what God will accomplish through his word. Now, we're going to have a few different people right now help us understand what's ahead. In other words, God's word is the seed, But there's several sowers that are in this fellowship right now. They're going to be sowing the seeds in some of the various different groups that we have moving ahead. So, for example, Derek, maybe you can just let people know if you can come up right now. So Derek is going to be teaching 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Again, this is our discipleship living school. And don't be intimidated by the word school, but it tells us in the back of here. And what for what you're teaching, what's on your heart as you're looking at the study in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John?
Well, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is, if you've ever read the Gospel of John, there's some similar themes. Loving each other, loving God, abiding, I think, is going to be my favorite part. Just learning to abide from 1st John.
Right on. Yeah. So, again, on Monday, that's what that will be like. And then JJ, since you just came in, thank you, Derek. Very good. So JJ is going to be teaching 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and he taught last year. And what's on your heart as the students will be taking 1st and 2nd Thessalonians?
We grab that thistle. First,
what's that?
Thessalonians?
That's a group, isn't it? A rap group, Thistle?
1st and 2nd Thessalonians it will be an amazing class. You know, doctrinally, it's probably the first or second epistle that Paul wrote. So we really get to see his heart for a young, thriving church. And he's going to lay down some great Christian doctrine. So some foundations of the Christian faith. We talk a good deal about the second coming of Jesus and also the rapture, which is always fun to be in the know. And there's nothing that can be confusing. We can all understand God's word and things to come. So Thessalonians is a great to just lay down some great Christian foundational doctrine.
Yes. Amen. Hey, by the way, next Sunday, our fellowship has the opportunity to pray for JJ as we ordain him as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So looking forward to that. JJ serves about 25 hours a week doing a variety of different things and kind of keep going on that track. And he has his first wedding. He's going to be officiating in a couple of weeks. So we're just really grateful as a fellowship to celebrate the fruit of the labors that we've had. Obviously, Calvary Chapel in Colorado before that. So love you, buddy.
Yep. Thanks,
Coach. That's good. That's good. Remember, wear your suit next week, right? Isaac. So have you ever wondered, like, how do you actually study the Bible? I'm trying to follow along. So, Isaac, how do we study the Bible?
Well, we're going to be going through a video series doing the inductive Bible study, which is really cool because it's just simple. It's observing what the text says, interpreting what it says, and then just learning to apply that to our life. So it's a video series. It's meant for just learning to take the Word of God at face value and be able to teach that in a small group setting or maybe even someday teach.
That's right. So that's right. And also, just so you know, the series he's using, we want to use things that bear fruit. So Pastor Dan Frenfrock, it's a funny last name, I know, but he actually, when we started the outreaches to Russia in the 90s, he came and was equipping our churches. He's still doing that. It's a very fruitful ministry. You'll have a little workbook so you can really get it down and get it really good. Victor, you want to come on up as well? And so Victor's going to be teaching a class. Now, some of you think it's the, oh, I'm sorry class. It's an apologetic class, okay?
So the class that we're going to be going through is also a DVD series, but it's not a technical DVD series. It's led by Dr. Joseph Holden, who is the president of Veritas Evangelical Seminary, and it's an introduction to apologetics. Now, I want to put some of you guys at ease because you guys already heard a big word in the title, right? It's not an egghead type of status, you know, video series. It's actually really easy to understand. So it's a non-technical, and it's going to be going over some really awesome topics. For example, the problem of evil, the existence of God, culture shift, the deity of Christ, and the reliability of the New Testament is some of the topics.
Great. Perfect. I love it. So you want to make sure that you're a part of that class. All right. Good. Also, John Limperis, he's going to be a part of our Monday night, and he'll be teaching a class, Are You Different? And we've been together really having some great conversations. But with the Christian life, the Bible says, be holy as I'm holy. But how do you do that? How do you live a life separate? How does that actually happen? How does the Holy Spirit of God help you understand what God said and how to live that way, how to live in a right way to please God? So, John, I appreciate that. And you'll also be starting a Friday night home fellowship open to anybody, and it'll be on the book of James. And we're looking forward to that. So some great selections that are there. Heidi, you want to let the women know this is Heidi Larson, and so the Tuesday morning women's study.
We start on Tuesday, September 10th at 10 in the morning. We will have child care available. So if there are any ladies, especially in the fellowship, who may not feel led to attend the Bible study but really want to serve in some capacity, we could really use some assistance in the child care area. And we'll have some teenagers from the high school group also helping out with that as well. But our study is Against All Odds by Cheryl Broderson. It, too, is a video series, but we have a workbook with it, and the books are in the back on the wall on your left. If you're going out to the play area, it's on that wall. So the books are available. If you've already signed up, just put a check mark next to your name if you've gotten a book. If you haven't signed up and still want to, anytime you can come. The first week is just an introduction. I already previewed the first 2 weeks of the video, and I think it's going to be really good.
Thank you so much. What a blessing, huh, to hear all the things. And then Katie, you want to come up here and as well. So Katie will be doing a ministry, discipling women on Tuesday evening.
Tuesday evening. So we're going to start the same Tuesday as the morning ladies, and we're going to be going through two books. One is What Happens When Women Say Yes to God, and it's focused on delivering and encouraging us to have a heart of obedience and walking with the Lord and saying yes to him every moment. And then we'll also be encouraged by a book by Gisela Yohannan, and she's the wife of founder Gospel for Asia, and her book is called Dear Sister, and it's a compilation of letters that she has sent to other women in Gospel for Asia, whether missionaries or women of missionaries, and those letters are such a beautiful encouragement and example of lives lived in obedience to the Lord. So we're really excited and looking forward to that. So.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And then, Sean, regarding the high school students, and just to let people know, one of the things, and I was talking to Matt, it's great to have you again here. Are you going to be heading back to Minnesota? Okay. After service, okay. We'll be praying for you in that regard. But regarding our high school students, it's one of the larger groups that we've had as a ministry. And so kind of the direction on Sunday nights and things like that, you know, it's...
we're going to continue in Ephesians, as we started on the bike trip, and we're going to be continuing to study through that time. Just a great time of fellowship together with the students, getting into the Word, worship, and just kind of building up each other and the students and encouraging them in their different strengths that God has gifted them in. So
absolutely. Sean may seem very quiet, but he's quite a leader for the group and on the trips and things, and Delisha too. So thank you. And it's a great team with Kevin and everything. Yeah. There's a lot of fruit that's happening, and we really appreciate that. Wednesday nights, we continue our studies on Wednesday night. We have a time of worship. We've been going through different men. I've been really blessed by the different men that have been teaching on Wednesday nights out of Psalms. We have an opportunity for prayer at the end, and that has been, I feel, a great blessing, a great encouragement. We have three other discipleship men's group during the week. Aaron on Tuesday at Grace Cafe. We have one on Friday in Linden at 7:30. And we have the men that meet here on Saturdays at 8. Also, men, if you wouldn't mind signing up, next Saturday coming up, so in 6 days, we're going to meet, and JJ has the roster, it's in back, but we're going to meet at 7:30 for breakfast at Rusty Wagon. It's $5. But we really want to have a strong kickoff for the fall, men. So it'd be great if all the guys could come out and join us at 7:30 for for breakfast there. Also, on this Saturday, Tim, regarding the homeless ministry, I think people are aware, but there's a new way that we can be supportive.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate your continued prayers over this ministry for the protection of the servants that come down. Every Saturday, the first Saturday of Saturday of the month, we go down to Maritime Heritage Park and deliver a message and some necessities and a small meal for the guests down there. There's usually anywhere from 60 to 120 people that are in the park at any one time, so just a protection. And then we're moving into, that starts every Saturday at 12:30 is when we start getting together to set up. And at Maritime Heritage Park on Holly Street there. And then Chris put together this little flyer. It's back on the counter in the foyer there. As we move into winter, just some different needs that the homeless have, you know, to just meet their basic needs. You know, Jesus says, what you do unto the least of these, you've done unto me. And I don't know if he was talking about the homeless, but I'm sure he was probably talking in some regards to the homeless. It's really a part of our society that we as a society need to figure out how to just give them some shelter and food. I don't care if they're drunk or on stoned or whatever they're doing. They need compassion, and it's the love that compels us to do it. So hopefully it's his love that will compel them to have that change of life, and we're there to give them that encouragement for that change of life.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Great work. And Jimmy? And then just finally with Jimmy, you guys thinking, well, what is this morning? What's this like? Look, it's a family-style service. We illustrated today. It's really within Christian ministry, I find, like in the fall, there's a desire after summer for people. People want to really move ahead strongly. We have been moving ahead strongly through summer. I'm taking breaks. And also in January, there's times, and we're just showing you, we're going through the Bible, we're showing you if there is the desire to bear this kind of fruit and to see an abundant in your life. You say, well, I don't know. All I've got is just this one little seed. I'm saying you take your seed of faith, your seed, and you plant it. You plant it in a place that it can really grow. If it's this fellowship, that's great. If it's not, find a place to grow and be a part of and let your roots grow deep. Therefore, we're showing you what's available for our fellowship, what's available for your families, what's available. And Jim is the overseer of our ministries here. And Jimmy, just encourage him with what you've seen over 20 years. No, not everything you've seen over 20 years, but the things that bear fruit.
I think the heart of, at least a strong desire in my heart is with the youth, you know, is to come alongside you parents, just as youth leaders. I know it's the heart of Sean and Alicia and Kevin and Seth and Sarah, everybody that works in the youth ministry, because you see the potential of all of these kids here, you know, to produce amazing results. I mean, I look at these young, you know, Matt that's in Minnesota working in ministry, you know, music, and you see what happens. And then on the flip side, obviously, we do lose some of them, and it's our heart not to lose any kid to the world, you know, is to come alongside you guys as best we can to help move forward.
Amen.
And I think not only with the youth, but with the men as well, you know, is to help us become better fathers, better husbands, you know, and, you know, support you guys and build you up. And I think that's really just the heart of the ministry, investing Amen. In the families.
Amen. Good job, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you, Jimmy. And then as we just look here, kind of finishing it out, obviously we will go through this one more time. There's the types of soils, the hard soil. We're in a spiritual battle. The enemy's going to come. It's going to steal the seed. If you're not contending with the enemy, then we probably need to look at Ephesians 6. There's a real battle going on for the word of God to be stolen and taken away. We fight those battles all the time. The rocky soil, the seeds never took root. And as Jimmy said, that's a heartbreak. I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. If the seed, if the roots aren't going in, if it's not taking root, I'm brokenhearted. I pray, God, what is it, Lord? What is our part? How can we see just the roots in faith going deep in people's lives? we realize that there's competition. There's competition for your time in life right now, unlike any other time. But you need to make a choice. And I think personally, you know, obviously as a pastor, I'm going to strongly exhort, because we give time and attention to what we think is a priority. That's the answer. Our time and attention and resources go to what we think are a priority. Not what you say, but where do they go? That's it. And there's no second chance on it. And you really need to look at, and if the Lord and his family and putting down deep roots, then that's where time and resources go. There's a good seed, a hundredfold. Jesus said three things. He says, if you believe in me, you're going to abide in my word. You're my disciple. You're going to be my disciple if you bear much fruit. So if we're not bearing fruit, we're not his disciple. Listen, it may sound convicting or whatever, but it's true. I ask the Lord all the time, will this bear fruit? I ask the Lord of things I'm doing that are not, they're good things, but they're not bearing fruit. Don't put time into it. Bearing fruit. And then finally, a sense of love. His disciples, they love one another. We're doing that, and we thank God for that. We're going to have everyone stand. We have one more worship song we want to conclude with this morning as you're standing. And I'd like to just pray as you're standing. Father, there's a sense of delight, Lord, in our fellowship. We thank you for where you have taken us over 21 years. But Lord, we're very blessed. I'm blessed. Lord, I'm encouraged. I'm thankful. But Lord, we're not stagnant, and we don't rest on what took place, God, yesterday or last year. Lord, we're moving into a very important time, unlike any other time in our nation's history, and Lord, really within each individual life. And I believe that we really are at crossroads regarding our spiritual life and walk. Either we really are going to contend for the faith and not only be hearers of the word, but say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I am going to respect my husband. I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to glorify God in everything I do. Lord, I want more of your word. I want to experience more of your Holy Spirit working in and through me. I'm going to get rid of things that are a distraction. Things that have taken away time that should go elsewhere. I'm just going to get rid of them by your grace. Show me, Lord, help me. Lord, we do pray for your blessing and anointing. We worship you with this last song now.